You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Savor the Moment. Topic, Peace in Our Heart and the Baptism of Shalom in Our Spirit. Savor the Moment of Shalom. With the lighting of the second Advent candle, we heard the reading from Matthew concerning John the Baptist, the one preparing a way for our Lord to walk upon. Scripture speaks a lot about walking, preparing a way, and walking the way prepared. My thoughts have been going back and forth on the Shalom of God, which travels with Him on the highway of our heart. What was it that John the Baptist was doing? Was he preparing the people to receive the Christ, or was he preparing their hearts to receive God? Many people say that he was the forerunner for Jesus the Christ, and that, of course, is correct. But he was so much more. He was a road worker of the heart. He was one who prepared the hearts of people to receive the Christ. My question, when thinking about this, really comes down to this. Is this work now finished? Or now, in this year, 2012, has it only begun? Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Amplified Bible. In those days there appeared John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness, desert of Judea, and saying, Repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he who was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, shouting in the desert, Prepare the road for the Lord, make his highways straight, level, direct. This same John's garments were made of camel's hair, and he wore a leather girdle about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the country round about the Jordan went out to him, and they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sins. It is very important to see that John was not doing anything that had not been done before. Many a prophet had come and gone. The words that he was speaking were words taught to him by his parents, his rabbi, and of course, by the Spirit of God who was upon him, as he was God's special messenger. The key verse for us today is the line, And they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sins. This seems like such a small, innocent line, and yet it carries impact through the whole chapter, especially when we read after this how John the Baptist lashes out to the Pharisees in the verses that follow. But for today, let us take a closer look at this. There are two actions mentioned here, confession of sin and baptism. Actions that remain very important for people who desire to be baptized. And what goes before each of these two is the time that is needed in retrospect. First, we need to stand still and realize what sin is in our lives, followed by our repenting of that sin. Then, secondly, we need to confess those sins before the Lord. After that comes the last step. We need to wash away and bury the old sinful life and be reborn into the new life. In other words, baptism. The importance of this baptism is shown further down in our reading, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, Amplified Bible. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, Amplified Bible. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John protested strenuously, having in mind to prevent him, saying, It is I who have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus replied to him, Permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness, that is, to perform completely whatever is right. Then he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he, John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight." The two primary reasons for baptism are that Christ was baptized. He is the believer's example, and he commanded that all believers do the same. Christ began his ministry by submitting to water baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, Amplified Bible, and closed it by commanding his disciples to teach and baptize all nations. Since we are commanded to be baptized, it is not an option, but a must. Therefore, it must not be ignored as irrelevant. As discussed earlier, baptism is symbolic. It is a public confession of that which has already transpired in our hearts. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Amplified Bible. Baptism is a washing, a cleansing ritual. When we give our lives to Christ, people, at least most of them, desire to follow him and do all that is possible to please the Lord. They also desire to show the world that they are no longer in the old life, and are washed clean into a new life of holiness unto the Lord, which is symbolized through baptism. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Amplified Bible. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may." And he replied, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What has transpired in a believer's heart? The answer is that he has become saved, born again, regenerated. In other words, by believing, having faith, one has crucified the old man, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Amplified Bible, and has risen to become a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Amplified Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Amplified Bible. We know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him, in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Amplified Bible. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Baptism by immersion, then, is gladly undertaken by the new one given in Christ to show forth this fact to fellow believers. Baptism is at once both a duty and a privilege. Baptism, an outward sign of an inward change, transformation. Thus, first, we need to stand still, take a time out, and see what is going on in our hearts. Is this something we need to do before baptism? Yes, for sure, we need to. But we also need to take this time again and again, because Satan and his demons are working on us day by day, and slowly but surely, sin slips back in. When we are not saved, finding peace is a difficult thing. Most people that do not know the Lord are trying to find something, but they really do not know what it is. They call it their tranquility, or they talk about karma, or the balance of their spirit and the world. When God is pulling at their heartstrings, slowly but surely, he gives them some of his peace, what is called, in Hebrew, shalom. Then, in that shalom, the first step is taken, the realization of what sin is and how it is active in their life. A lot of people at that moment become discouraged and think they are not good enough, and instead of seeking God, they go forth in hopelessness. That is where a fruit-carrying member of the church comes into place. How many Christians do we know who carry the fruit of the Spirit and accept the gift of the Spirit called discernment, and also carry the fruit of the Spirit called shalom? How many truly see this happening in people's lives? It happens so many times, and we are so busy that this important fruit of shalom is suppressed, and another child of God stays sitting on the sideline, waiting for that little push of encouragement that helps them into a life of God's shalom, away from a life of stress and insecurity. Shalom, so much more than just peace or rest. Shalom from God, set into restoration and completion, restoration of the whole person. But seasoned Christians also need this time of shalom to fill up the tank again. Is this happening now for you? Praise the Lord. At Bible study, hallelujah again. It happens every time you come together in the Word with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah and amen. We see it in our own lives. We become so busy that the important things in our lives get taken over by the less important things. The things that matter for the eternal soul, for our spirit, get taken over by the carnal, the things of this day. The execution of our faith becomes, especially in this time of year, more important than the celebration of the root of our faith. If we are so busy with our jobs, with the church, with our hobbies, with our travels, with our children, let us at least take this time, our church time, to have our minds filled with God's peace, God's shalom. It is this time today, and each time that we come together, and are reminded of the things we did wrong, the times we walked off that pathway, the highway prepared in the desert, that we need to have ourselves submerged and baptized again by the Holy Spirit, so that we again realize that we have been forgiven and that our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. A time and place that serves as a road marker where we recognize our sin and know that this is not something we will do again. And with that recognition, we come again one step closer into God's will for our lives, and one step closer into His plan of sanctification, one step tighter into His presence. One thing again that is washed away, that will not touch our lives anymore. Church is, for most people, the easiest place to repent of our sin. The setting within the presence of the Lord is created by the church, the choir, the music, the worship, the preaching, and the prayers for and by each other. Unfortunately, it is often not true repentance. A true turning away from sin and leaving it behind there in the meeting, leaving it with God, walking onward with a clean slate, leaving it with the cross, means that this sin is placed on the cross, crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25, Amplified Bible. Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. That is repentance, nailing our sin to the cross so we cannot take it back up, leaving the church without it. Difficult? Yes, for most of our sin it is. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. King James Version. The third step follows with more ease than that repentance. That third step is the confession of this sin, which is first and foremost to Christ, but if you are married, also to your spouse. If it affects the church, the pastor is a good person to confess this sin to. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Amplified Bible. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will, in purpose, thought, and action. If this does not happen, you never truly receive the full blessing of God's shalom. The knowledge of this sin eats away at you, and I might say, there has not really been full repentance. James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, Amplified Bible. And the prayer, that is of faith, will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Repentance sets free, and admitting that you are a sinner and that you have sinned follows out of this. Knowing that this liberation from sin took place through the sacrifice on the cross. Liberation means no more struggle. Peace, shalom. That is the true miracle of Christmas, the death on the cross by the Lamb, an innocent sacrificial Lamb, Jesus Christ, the child born of Mary, born to be crucified. This moment, my friends, let us savor it. Let us savor the moment where the Holy Spirit has again washed us in the blood of that innocent child. That innocent child has given us this Holy Spirit to convict us, to lead us, to help us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to mediate for us. He is the one who brings you that important word of God that says to you, "You are my child. I died for your sin." Why? Because I love you. Whatever you have done, I love you. That Holy Spirit, that breath of God the Father and God the Son, is here today with you and in you. It is here right now to commune with you and God the Father and God the Son. What a great and glorious gift this second Sunday of Advent. Blessing to pray over others, Pastor John Kilpatrick. God's blessings rest upon you this day. You are pleasing to the Lord, and he enjoys your fellowship. You are well favored and more than able to receive his abundant provision. God's angels accompany you on your right hand and on your left. They shall guide you. God's goodness and mercy shall follow close behind you and be the guardians between you and your past. Beloved, Advent sets a holy pause in front of us, not a pause of laziness, more like a pause of alignment. John's cry still lands on the soul, clear the road, not in the desert sand only, but in the inner terrain where motives hide, where memories ache, and where distractions pile up like debris. The Messiah loves a straight path, and the Ruach HaKodesh brings the grace to clear it. Shalom is not a fragile feeling that evaporates when the week gets loud. It is covenant peace, restoration, wholeness, completion, peace with God, and order inside the heart. That is why repentance and confession carry weight. They remove what steals shalom, and they expose what breeds darkness. When sin stays hidden, it multiplies in silence. When sin comes into the light, it loses authority. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, Amplified Bible, remains a living promise, not a museum plaque. This is also why immersion matters. Not only the water baptism that marks the beginning, but the ongoing baptism of the inner life as the Spirit keeps cleansing, renewing, and recalibrating. The cross is not a decoration. It is an execution site for the old nature and a doorway into resurrection life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25, Amplified Bible, names the battle plainly and also names the victory plainly, the fruit of the Spirit, including peace, shalom. So, yes, savor the moment, not as sentimental nostalgia, but as worship that breathes again. Let the highway of your heart carry the King. And as you step into the week, hold tight to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, King James Version. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is shalom guarding you like a holy watchman, because the Messiah lives and his Spirit rests upon you. God has determined that you shall have good success because you move in faith and in strong courage. Your eyes shall see the salvation of the Lord. He shall keep you safely under his wings and pinions. I declare this day that you are protected and delivered from the evil of the day. You shall not stumble or fall, for the Holy Spirit has anointed your eyes with eye salve to see clearly, and has given you ears of the Spirit to hear precisely. You will be wise in your generation. Your soul will rest in God's shalom. He has declared you to be strong and pleasing in his sight. You will eat the fruit of his promises in the land of the living and will enjoy long life and length of days because you have wholly trusted in the Lord your God. Your habitation shall be a place where you will rest in his love, find hope for tomorrow, and joy shall strengthen you as you rest upon your bed. He shall restore your soul and give you rest in the stillness and quietness of your home. In your prayer chamber, the Holy Spirit shall birth a creative and powerful mind and give you sound ideas that will bring you promotion and great favor. He shall give you fresh anointings and bless your ministry with good results. The Lord is pleased with you and has placed his name upon your forehead. Call upon him, and he will show you great and mighty things you know not of. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.